Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me today. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Joan Pride's here, too, by the way, folks. She is a longtime member of our Brain Trust and is with us on a regular basis to talk to us about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jim. Thanks a lot.
It's good to have you back.
Good to be back.
This week, one of the things you guys point out in the letter is that even if the economy is faltering, you know, there are some groups, some sectors are actually kind of doing pretty well. You know, this is the oddest. You know, as you know, Joan, I predicted at the end of December that we actually weren't even going to have a technical recession.
Right.
And it looks like that's actually what's going to come to pass.
I think growth is like a little below 1%, isn't it? Like 0.06% or something like that. So, you know, in a very technical sense, if we were to stay there, that would mean we would not go into recession because we would have to have, I hate this term, negative growth.
Mm-hmm. What's happening is, and I've been talking a lot about this lately, is, there are two kinds of issues out there. There are the reality issues that we see in front of us, like $3.60 gas and home foreclosures and things like that. And then there's that stuff that's going on in the 5 inches between our ears.
Right.
You know, the one that where it may not be a recession, but it sure feels like one to some people.
Exactly.
Also,
you might not be in bad shape, but you might start to worry that you could have financial problems, and that might cause you to pull back on your spending, and then
right.
It becomes kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, and then you add into that, Joan, the availability cascade phenomenon, which I've been talking about for a long time now, and that's where availability cascade is a social science term that means when people hear something in the media so much, whether it's true or not, they start believing it and they start behaving as if it were true.
Yes.
And so that's another element or another variation of what you were saying that just compounds the issue. And and then there's no question from where the economy was in 04 and 05, 06 and 07, it's 08 is a slower time.
That's right.
I'm confident. I really am confident about the second half. But in the meantime, and you guys reporting this week, what I've been saying for a long time is, folks, there are sectors in the economy that are actually doing pretty well. Talk to us about some of those things.
Well, and it's interesting what we say, that some of them are obvious and some of them are not so obvious. Now, I think everybody can figure out that any company involved in energy has to be doing well right now.
If they're not, they got a big problem.
Yeah,
big problems.
And agriculture companies, too. But also, remember, exporters are doing very well, too,
mm-hmm.
because mm-hmm. they're benefiting. You know, and I'm the currency expert here, so
yeah,
I can tell you they're benefiting from the weak dollar. I'm only telling you that because I can read it on the page here.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, Joan, let's land on the energy and the food thing a little bit.
Yeah.
Because Exxon, if I'm not mistaken, is about to report what may be breaking their own world record earnings performance.
Wow!
Now, you know what? In America, we admire companies that are successful and profitable. But when gasoline prices are the way they are, I got to be honest, folks, you might be surprised to hear me say this. Joan, it is a little unseemly for the gas companies to be making these kinds of record profits.
Oh, I'll say.
Here's my question. My defense of this is that I would say to them, guys, what are you doing with those profits? Are you lining the pockets of hedge funds? Or are you finding new oil? Are you finding new technologies? Are alternative? How much? You know, if I were Exxon, I'd be putting some stuff out there. I'd be doing this too. I wouldn't just be talking about it. I'd be saying, hey, folks, we're investing $100 billion or $1 zillion in the next generation of energy.
Right. Right.
And that
would sure make them a heck of a lot more credible, and I think they have to worry. There's going to be a lot more talk, and there already is talk, about windfall profits tax.
If Obama is elected in November to be president, and Barack Obama, and you and I both agree, I think, Joan, that he is going to have coattails. If he's the winner, he will have coattails. I don't know if McCain will have big coattails. But
what about Hillary?
I think Hillary won't have as much as Barack Obama will. Mm-hmm. But either way, if either one of the Democrats are win in November, the energy companies better gird their loins.
Yes. Oh, no question.
Buckle up.
Well, that's true, except that you have this little gang of 41 senators in the Senate that can control whatever they want.
There may not be 41.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That's going to be the thing to watch, is what happens to the Senate in this election. That's going to be fascinating.
The two big things that are in the balance, Joan, for the next 4 years are about, what is it, four or five Senate seats in the Senate that if they went Democrat would change the balance of power, and whoever drops out of the Supreme Court. I think those are the two big things right now that are more important than the war in Iraq, than the economy, because those are long term things, aren't they?
Oh, no question about it. Sure.
Yeah. So all right. So the agriculture thing, Joan. Those companies. Isn't it interesting to see how trying to find biofuels and focusing on that and promoting that has contributed to increased prices in food?
Yeah, that's a very interesting aspect of all of this. You know, we need this new energy, but yet we're kind of robbing Peter to pay Paul when we're getting it.
Right. And so this is but the interesting thing is, you know, some can connect our desire to fight global warming. You know, some of those chickens are coming home to roost in the price of food. So there's a little irony there, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's just two of the groups, folks, that are actually doing pretty well right now. And if you're investing, you know, I'm not an investment advisor, but you know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Joan. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame. We're going to be right back. We're going to talk about some more of these sectors. They're doing pretty well, and why, and we're going to move on. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Stay with us. Here's the Reverend Al Green to take us out.
But I found a way to make you say that you love.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out using your advantage. They're there for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us and use our stuff. Smallbusinessadvocate.com, where you find the show and all the other things we do here. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Check out our blog while you're there as well. And then don't forget our knowledge base, askjim.biz. Get small business answers right now. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. And Joan, just as the automobile industry is reporting a drop in new car sales, no big shock there. You guys report something that's going on in the auto repair industry. What's that all about?
They're doing pretty well. Auto repair shops are busy. People are repairing their old cars instead of getting rid of them to buy new ones.
Mm-hmm. Now, on the other side of the fence, Joan, let's talk. And I don't think this is in your report this week, but in your letter this week. But think about this: the same kind of phenomenon happens in the housing industry, when prices go up, people don't necessarily buy more houses. They start fixing the one they have because they believe that that's adding value to their house.
Right. Right.
And now prices are coming down. So, Joan, you know, it seems to me, and you guys, I think you talk about it just a little bit in here with regard to the foreclosures, but the repossessions, but if housing prices are coming down in a lot of places, that's an opportunity for people, I think right now, for people to start to be buying houses.
That's right.
And that's exactly happening in some markets, isn't it?
Right. No, it sure is.
So I wonder what that's doing to the repair issues. But you know what? If you're able to buy a house that's been in foreclosure, it's probably not like you want it. You're probably going to make some adjustments to it, some improvements.
That's
so
right.
I'll tell you, Joan, I'm predicting that by the beginning of 2009, mm-hmm. that we're going to see not a healed home industry, housing industry, but a healing and well on its way to doing well.
What's interesting here is, you know, the stock market's been doing better lately. And as we know, the stock market is considered a leading economic indicator. Now, I don't know how, I have never figured out how the stock market knows ahead of everybody else that the economy might be getting better. But mm-hmm. that makes, you know, that would fall in line with what you're saying, if in fact we are poised for a bull market.
Well, and of course, Joan, you know that they listen to my show, too.
Oh, that's what it
is.
This
is where they get their good stuff, Joan.
Okay.
But you know, the other thing about this, now this is another thing though, Joan, about the stock market and what you were just saying. The stock market these days, especially even the U.S. stock market, is really a lot of the activity involves international activity.
Oh,
and
right.
So the world economy is kind of doing okay. And with the this is where we get to some of the stuff you guys talk about here in the letter this week, with the world economy okay and the dollar being weaker, as we mentioned earlier, that helps our exports, doesn't it?
That's right, exactly.
So that's a good thing. What are some other things, Joan? Let's see what we got. Healthcare.
Garbage is
doing real
well.
What's the story on
well?
The garbage? What's that all about?
I don't know, but I guess we were just sort of generally trying to make the point that different industries that you might not think about are doing well.
Well, I guess what it means is recession or otherwise, we're still throwing stuff out. We're still
right.
a pretty wasteful society, aren't we, John?
Right, we sure are.
But you know, let's talk about healthcare. I mean, think about healthcare. You know, spending on healthcare has very little to do with what the economy is doing, right? I mean, if I've got a cold or I break an arm or something like that, I'm going to get help. I'm going to consume health care.
And as the population ages, we're going to be consuming a heck of a lot of more health care.
You had to bring that up, didn't you, John?
Sorry about that. I didn't say you were aging. I said the population.
Well, I got a birthday coming up. It's not extremely ugly, but it's not
pretty. Hey, as
long
as it doesn't have a zero in it, you're okay.
Well, that's racing at me light speed.
It's up on the horizon there,
right?
Huh?
That's right. It is about to become officially on the horizon. But now, Joan, pets. Now, this is one that I don't get. Why, at a time like this, why are people expanding their spending on pets?
Oh, but that's been coming for a long time. This is
really
nothing new. In fact, we used to a colleague of mine, a colleague you know well, Jim Ostroff, and I have only half kiddingly said for a long time we need to do a long story on the pet industry. Because we think it's huge. And just judging by the way we treat our own pets, if everybody treats their pets the way we do, then it's a very growing industry.
Well, it is huge, but I guess I'm surprised that right now you guys would report that it's a growing industry.
Well, then numbers don't lie.
Because, I mean, obviously, if I've got a dog or a cat, I'm going to take care of it.
Yeah.
But I might not. This might not be a good time for me to take on a new pet and do all the things that you have to do to keep a new pet and to kill them when you're gone and that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's probably the most surprising one. But the other one, Joan, is this tutoring thing. Talk to us about that.
Well, we're seeing tutoring in math and English, which I think English is going to become more and more important as we seem to be becoming a bigger and bigger melting pot over time.
Right, right. And then, of course, the last one there, Joan, the lawyers.
Lots of legal work.
I just worry about them every year. They just seem to not be able to, you know, those guys.
I think they're going to be okay.
When the economy goes up or the economy goes down, the lawyers seem to do okay. Quick break, 29 after. Right back. More to come after these messages. Stay with us.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure, as always. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with Kiplinger Editors, and we're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, next up on our list is business costs, especially steel. Now, steel is an interesting commodity and has been now for some time because steel, you know, the U.S. used to be, you know, a great steel manufacturing country, and we still do manufacture a lot of steel. But steel has become a very international commodity these days, hasn't it?
Oh, no question about that.
Last few years.
Yeah.
But the price is going to go up. And according to this, not that this doesn't mean anything to me, but the top, it's going to go up as much as $1,200 a ton for hot roll steel and $1,300 for cold roll by July, which is twice what it cost in January. Now, Joan, here's the reason why I wanted to bring this up. This is all part of the contributing to the overall inflation that you and I are seeing right now. I mean,
and think about the ripple effect there, because we say car, truck, and tool makers will get walloped, and then we say highway and home construction firms. I mean, that's the last thing they need.
Well, you know, and just to dramatize that from a job standpoint, if you remember, one of the things that George Bush stepped in that he shouldn't have within the first year or so of his presidency was he got involved and protected the U.S. steelworker industry.
Yeah.
And threw up some protectionist barriers, which was a big mistake, but he was protecting like 125,000 jobs that are of steelmakers. But what he didn't realize probably, and I think he wound up fixing it, was that he was impacting negatively about 2 million steelworker jobs. They weren't making steel; they were working with steel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the point you're making, is that it's not, you know, once the steel comes in and once it's hot rolled or cold rolled, you know, that's one thing, but then it goes out to all these different applications, and
it gets
into all of our different products, and so Joan, this is where, and now we start to come back to not to get. Not to try to be hysterical here, but or get people scared unduly. But back to your term that you often bring up, Joan, with the economy going one way and inflation going the other way. What is that?
It's called not good.
No, but your term from the 70s.
My
Joan.
Favorite term. Are you going to make me say it?
Stagflation.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to talk about that.
I know. But seriously, I mean, you know, we don't have to have rampant. It's a phenomenon, folks. It doesn't have to be rampant. It doesn't have to be debilitating. But we kind of got a little bit of that.
The problem is you get into a stagflation economy, it's hard to get yourself out of it because it can spiral, you know, downward.
Well, and the thing is, though, Joan, I don't like it when people start being alarmist, and I'm not at all, but
right.
I do think, technically speaking, we got a little bit of that going on right now, don't we?
I think so.
Inflation's going up,
really,
and the economy's languishing. Now, here's the thing, folks. I don't think this is going to happen for very long. Now, I don't think inflation is going to come down much, but I think the economy is going to pick up.
Well, you have to hope it does, because the only way to kill stagflation, really, is to really strangle inflation. And when you do that, you really throw yourself into a recession. That's what Paul Volcker was kind of forced to do back in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it was not pretty. I mean, it worked, but it was not pretty while we were going through it.
Joan, one of the things that you guys talk about is, and this is something that's really on my mind because I do a fair amount of air travel, and that is the air travel industry. And I think that there's no question it's uglier than it's ever been, Joan.
Yeah.
The whole experience that people have traveling, but Joan, I don't think we've even seen how ugly it's going to get.
And that's even, I noticed that was in the Wall Street Journal this week, too, that it's this summer the travel is going to be rough.
Well, and you guys point that out. You say that, you know, the planes are overcrowded, the prices have gone up, Joan. You know, we used to be able to get a round trip ticket to Washington, let's say, nonstop.
Yeah.
For, let's say, 2 years ago, that ticket could be as low as $225. Now that ticket's probably been more like about $600.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow.
It's gone up that much in the last 2 to 3 years, and it's all over it's across the board. I mean, every ticket, all airline travel right now is higher. And the sad thing is, Joan, is the airlines are still having trouble surviving.
Yeah, I know.
It'd be different if we were paying more and getting better service, and we thought that they were, you know, they were thriving, and you know, we were happy about that. But
right. But
you know, it's costing us more, and we're still not happy about it.
That's right.
So it's one of those conundrums, folks. I'm looking forward to my teleporter, Joan. I want to be able to just be able
beam
to
you
push,
up.
Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me to Vegas, Scotty. 20 till right back after these messages with Joan Price. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Joan Price, Senior Editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and their website, ladies and gentlemen, is kiplinger.com. I like it. Been using it for a long time. I've been reading their publications for decades. And, John, I remember back in the 70s, going by, calling on my customers, way back in the 70s, and seeing the Kiplinger letter on their desk. You know, office after office after office would have the Kiplinger letter there delivered in their desk. Business people have been benefiting from these publications for so long. And, folks, the you can find their publications at the website. And of course, that includes the weekly flagship that Joan and I work off of. And Joan, I think this September it's going to be 85 years, right?
I think you're right, yeah.
23 to 85, to 08. I think that's 85 years. Mm-hmm. And so, folks, that's the weekly flagship that I recommend highly. And of course, then they have the three biweekly letters, the California letter, the tax letter, and the agriculture letter. And then there's another one, a new one, isn't there, Joan?
Right, it's the Kiplinger's biofuels letter.
Biofuels, which I don't get yet, by the way, Joan. I wouldn't mind.
Oh, I have to work on that. Sorry.
Yeah.
I have to work on.
And then,
of
course, they got a magazine.
Yes. Sure, Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And what about that phone number?
Our toll-free number is 800-544-0155.
Don't forget that 30-day free trial, folks. I negotiated hard to get you a 30-day free trial.
That's right.
So tell them that you want the Blessing Game discount there. Joan, before we leave the airline thing, Delta, which is a decent airline, not as good as it used to be, but a decent one.
Yeah.
And Northwest, which is worse than it's ever been, and it never was great.
Right.
Northwest, I do not like traveling on Northwest Airlines. I'm sorry, guys. You just don't have your cornflakes together.
Yeah.
You've left me too many times with canceled flights. You've lost my bags way too many times.
Ooh.
So I don't
really?
Have anything
That's
good to
terrible.
Say. Oh yeah, it's awful. We flew anyway. Northwest and Delta are about to merge. Joan, I have a bad feeling about it. I think that we're going to wind up defining air travel down when those two merge.
Well, I think you're being a little glass half empty there. Maybe Delta will bring Northwest up.
The glass is completely empty, Joan. There's no water in the glass.
Wow, this isn't like you. You're usually pretty
I usually play Pollyanna's glad game here, but this is not good. I just don't see nothing good is going to come, in my opinion, from Delta and Northwest merging. And prices will go up, Joan. I'm convinced of that. So that's not good. We're taking a competitor out of the marketplace. That's not going to be good. Joan, let's move on down and talk about tech transfer. You got some tech research here, and talk to us about this.
Well, we're saying that researchers are getting a lot of federal grants, and things are looking up, and I think because of these funds, you're going to see some useful products with business applications. You know, and this is a few years away still. And this one's interesting, wireless electricity. I don't really understand how that could possibly work, but we say magnetic fields can power a light bulb, cell phone, or computer up to 7 feet from a socket without a battery.
Wow. I can see right now, Joan, I'm going to have to put an extra layer of aluminum inside my hat. aluminum foil. I'm gonna have to double the aluminum foil around my head right now. But yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, and what I love about this, Joan, and I'm glad you guys are reporting it, folks. This is the technology transfer that you and I. I mean, you and I are benefiting from stuff right now that was being developed 20 years ago, or maybe even 40 or 50 years ago, by NASA and by these other organizations. Universities, there's a lot of wonderful research that's going on in universities. And folks, you've heard me talk about grants, and I tell you, small business owners, you're not going to get a grant. Well, there are grants out there, but you don't get them. The researchers get them, which is what
right.
they should get.
Right.
Because their job is to try and fail till they get it right. And so so that's the wireless electricity. That'll be interesting. What about the next one?
Well, now this I don't understand either. Tiny radios, a carbon fiber only a few molecules thick. You've got your amplifier, tuner, and antenna all rolled into one there.
See, I love this because, see now, yeah. Joan, this can come like in an aerosol can.
Really?
See? Oh, that's what I'm imagining. That's my story. And so,
okay.
So I'm imagining people would just spray it on them like deodorant, see?
Yeah.
And they could just tune into the Small Business Advocate Show wherever they were. This is wonderful. I love
okay,
this.
Okay, okay. I think we need to get you some medication.
I'm getting professional help later today, John.
Good, thank goodness.
And what about this next one? Now, this is a good one.
Bricks from fly ash?
Tell us what fly ash is.
I have no idea.
Oh, you know what fly ash is.
Debris from coal-fired power plants?
That's it.
Why isn't it just ash? What's fly ash?
Well, because they're differentiating it from regular ash. Out of your fireplace. This is different. This is never mind, Joan.
This is kind of cool though, because it means you can make bricks at room temperature. You don't have to fire them in a kiln.
And I think
that would be, you know, easier to make them.
And see, we have a lot of waste
cheaper.
Fly ash, Joan.
Okay.
And see, we need to be burning more coal, more clean coal in this country. Mm. And we got that's a wonderful other fuel that's a lot better than burning corn, ladies and gentlemen. And then we can take this fly ash that's a residue, that's a byproduct of all this, and make bricks.
Yeah.
Make building blocks. So I like that. All right, what about the last one there?
Last one, plastic from plants.
Yeah.
We say wheat gluten being used to create hard plastic. Oh, that is biodegradable. That would be huge.
Isn't that something?
We could use that for toys, cutlery, home furnishings. Boy, that would be wonderful for the planet.
Oh, so here you are, Joan. You're at the grocery store, and the young man with pimples says, "Would you like paper or gluten, ma'am?"
You're right.
How about that?
Yep.
And then, all right. Here's the movie, Joan. The new movie, the remake of The Graduate.
Yeah.
The man walks up to Benjamin and says, "Benjamin, one word. Gluten.
Gluten.
How about that?" Tin Tail, stay with us. Right back. Here's Steely Dan. Take us out. It's great food and wine. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and that's little Robert Cray bringing us back. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. And we're talking about what Kiplinger has to say about what's going on in the world these days. Joan, I think we're ready for the politics. What's the Kiplinger take on what's happening in politics? You know, we got Mr. Obama is become a little tarnished in the last few weeks, hasn't he?
He has. He's had a rough week or two. But we still say, this is interesting to me, that we still say that he... we favor him against Hillary Clinton getting the nomination.
But surely this last Christmas, Hillary got a present that she didn't understand when Santa brought her a little box, and inside the box there was just a piece of paper, and it said Jeremiah.
right.
What's his last name? Jeremiah.
Right.
Wright. Jeremiah
Reverend
Wright.
Wright.
She thought.
Yeah.
She thought, what's this mean?
Yeah.
And then Santa says, "It's the gift that will keep
on giving."
And, did you see him at the press club?
I couldn't watch. I was disgusted.
I watched it, Joan, and I've never seen so much self-absorption. I've never seen anybody so self involved.
If this man really truly cared about Barack Obama, he would never have done anything like that. But he doesn't care about anybody but himself, obviously.
It's clear that he is nothing but a narcissist.
Yeah.
That was the most narcissistic thing. I mean, he made Bill Clinton look like a wallflower in terms of narcissism.
But what was funny, I had seen him on Charlie Rose a couple days before that, and he was pretty normal out there. And I thought, well, you know, if he keeps talking like this, people are going to see he's just a normal person, and his remarks were taken out of context. And then he goes with that performance and just blows everything out of the water.
Well, it's definitely hurt Barack Obama, and it's given Hillary plenty of current information, or ammunition, I should say, and it's going to give the Republicans a lot of future ammunition.
That's true. It's going to get, next Tuesday is going to be very interesting to see how Indiana and North Carolina vote.
They're both on the same day. Now, the election could be close in Indiana, but Barack was supposed to blow her out of the water in North Carolina.
North Carolina. So if something were to happen, let's say she were to pull an upset in North Carolina or beat him convincingly in Indiana, I think the race becomes even muddier than before.
Joan, do you remember the beginning of the year, you and I both agreed that this was going to be the most interesting year of politics in our lifetime?
The curse. May you live in interesting times. This is getting way too interesting.
It has been. And so now we got this thing going, you know, I heard Chairman Dean say that he wants this to be wrapped up by the 1st of June, and for the delegates, the super delegates to declare. But Joan, if I were Hillary, I wouldn't get out till they pried my cold dead fingers off the nomination.
Oh, and you can bet she won't. Bet she won't.
Because she's not a 2012 candidate. I don't think. Do you?
No, I think she'd be a bit long in the tooth by
long,
then.
I'm glad you covered that.
Yeah, because she's 60 now, I think. Isn't she 60 now?
I
mean, that's not really fair to say since John McCain now is what, 70-something.
But
if she's 68 when she's elected, then she's, what, 74 after two terms. So this is her shot, really.
That's right. And the next 2 months are big. But I really have to say, I hope this goes to the convention. That would really be an exciting year to see the Democrats duking it out. Wouldn't that be fun? It'd be like watching cage fighting or something.
Well, speaking as a journalist, I mean, you want for nothing more than this, because this is, you know, this is the opposite of boring old the politics that we used to have, just, you know, the nominations locked up early, this could be really interesting.
Imagine how boring things would be if we had one of the nominees in the Democrat had won, on the Democrat side had won, and we got like 9 months of the Republican and the Democrat going at each other.
Yeah, you would have basically had the general election campaign started back in, you know, what we thought would happen would be Hillary and whomever duking it out from Super Tuesday on.
Right.
You know, the Republican nominee, and we've got pretty much the opposite.
This is where you move to Fiji for 6 months just to
That's
get away
right.
from all the nonsense.
That's right.
But anyway, but it'll be interesting to see how that works, Joan. And
it will.
And then, of course, after that, it's off to the races. But the big thing is, most people still believe Obama's going to win, right? The Democrat nomination.
You know, barring anything weird happening next Tuesday, you still have superdelegates. Even with all his problems, you still have superdelegates committing for him, and his own superdelegates not. I thought his own superdelegates might leave him, but they haven't.
So far.
Right,
but
so far.
Could be another. All he needs is another Jeremiah Wright in the wings somewhere.
Right, right.
Another blow-up. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.